If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to take them with me and turn to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. And if you would, please stand with me. I'm also amazed at how God orchestrates things. A few months ago, I was asked to preach. And I preached on God's faithfulness from Lamentations chapter 3. And not even talking to Philemon, he had planned for that morning that I was to preach on God's faithfulness in Lamentations 3, we sing, great is thy faithfulness, out of the hymn book. Just God's orchestration, and it happens so often, and pastor asked me to be ready, and so as I was preparing, and then Friday he finalized that, and then his message this morning, I just stopped and said, God just dovetailed this all right together. We have a great God. 1 John chapter 4, we know the context of 1 John. The message of 1 John, John is declaring Christ. That Jesus Christ is life. Those who have Christ have life. It's a message that Christ is light. And those who have Christ have life. The light of the Lord. And those apart from Christ are walking in darkness. It is a message that Christ is life. It is a message that Christ is light. It is a message that Christ is love. Herein do we know that God loves us. Why? Because He sent His Son to be the propitiation for the world. God so loved the world. How did He demonstrate it? By sending His Son. It's the gift of love. And this is John's message as we turn to the first epistle of John. That Christ is life. Christ is light. Christ is love. And as John lifts up Christ, he lays out the evidences of true faith. He lays out encouragements for the believer. But he also issues out warnings to take heed to. And we find one of these warnings in the fourth chapter, in verse number 1, John writes under the inspiration of God, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Father, we commend this time to You. We ask God that You would open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of Your Word. May Christ be honored. May Christ preach to us tonight through His Word. Awaken people, Lord, to this caution. Help us to test all things by Your perfect Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The disciple John, the beloved disciple, here in the fourth chapter of his epistle of 1 John, as he is declaring that Christ is life, as Christ is love and Christ is light, he issues to us a caution that we need to take heed to today, lest we find ourselves separating from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wish to lay before your attention tonight three things. Number one, the exhortation of John. Number two, the examination of believers. And number three, the existence of false prophets. See, first of all tonight, the exhortation of John. John writes, and he is writing out of love. He's writing out of compassion. He's writing because the truth of God matters. And he says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. John is speaking against those teachers who are a sham. Believe not every spirit. The definition of spirit here is this. Having mentioned the spirit, the true spirit, in the previous chapter, at the end of verse 24, chapter 3, verse 24, in which the Bible says, And he that keepeth his commandments, dwelleth in him that is Christ, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Having mentioned that it is the Holy Spirit that bears witness to our spirit that we are the true children of God, the Apostle John contrasts the true Spirit of God with the other spirits that exist in the world. These demonic spirits that he is referring to, they are seducing spirits that produce false teachers, who teach false doctrines, who lead to producing phony believers. These lying spirits fill men who claim to be qualified and sent by God. They profess with their mouth that they know the Lord Jesus. They have a form of godliness, but they do not know Christ in truth. Their faith is a sham. They are imposters and they are hypocrites. And so John is exhorting his readers. John is exhorting us tonight. Believe not every spirit. Believe not simply means stop believing. It is apparent that John knew that some of his readers were being carried away by the prevailing Gnostic doctrine and other false doctrines that were prevailing in that day. And as John sees the damage that is being caused by these false teachers, he does not close his mouth and wish for the best. He does not say, well, God will take care of it if he should so please. No, the Apostle John has been entrusted with the precious truths of God, and he must stand steadfast to the Scriptures. And because John loves Christ, because John loves Christ's truth, and because John loves Christ's bride, he writes with loving affection and exhorts his hearers to be cautious. John is speaking against those who are a sham. And John is speaking to those who are susceptible. See here in this verse, he says, beloved. And John knows that there are many in the midst who will hear this letter who are susceptible to the lies of these false teachers. John doesn't name one person. He doesn't name a group of people. He names them all, Christians, beloved. Why does he do this? Well, the truth of the matter is that all are susceptible to be misled by false teachers. Why? Because Satan is subtle and deceptive, and he knows how to twist and turn God's word and make God's sheep stray from the fold. And this has been the case since Genesis 3, since God began to speak truth to people, to individuals. Satan has been at work, and his aim is onefold. What is it? To get you to distort God's word. To get you to deny God's word. To get you to doubt God's word. His method of attack? To counterfeit what is real and thereby confuse and corrupt God's people and God's churches. This is John's exhortation. We see, secondly, the examination of believers. John writes, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. We see the method of testing, try the spirits. To try simply means to test or examine. John is calling on his readers to examine the spirits, examine those who preach, examine those who teach. Not only examine their message, examine their methods, and examine their person. Examine both the preacher and the preaching. There were some who were open-minded to every new wave of truth that stroked their ear, and John pressed them to examine. Beloved, what are we to examine the spirits by? The Word of God. This is the method of examining. The Word of God. Isaiah 8:20 says this, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, if those who are out there who proclaim to be of God, they proclaim to be sent by God, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Revelation 2, verse 1 and 2, John writes, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. He commends the church in Ephesus, and he says, I know your works, I know your labor, I know your patience, and you have tried them which say verbally with their mouth that they are true apostles, that they have been sent by God. You've tried them, you've tested them, you've put them in the light of God's word, but you have found them to be liars. So the method of examination is the method of God's word. It is God's word because God's word is truth. God's word is perfect. It converts the soul. His testimonies are sure and right and altogether lovely. And you and I, believers tonight, you and I are called to be Berean Christians. Take your Bibles and look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse number 11. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Who are these? Well, Paul went to Berea. Verse 10, and coming thither in Berea, he went into the synagogue of the Jews, and he says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We see here three things. When it comes to examining God's truth or errors that are in the world, we are called to, number one, think. And Christians, believers, unbelievers, do not check your brain at the door. Amen. We are called to think. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word. How? With all readiness of mind. They weren't ready to just receive it because a religious leader said something. No, they received it with all readiness of mind. They were going to sift it through their brain, which God had given to them. Now, we are called to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. We are called to think. We are also called to search the scriptures. As you receive the word with all readiness of mind, we are called then to search the scriptures daily. And thirdly, we are called to examine. Examine that which you hear. And Paul commends these people. These people receive the word with all readiness of mind. They search the scriptures to see if what I was telling them was so. And beware of the preacher, beware of the teacher who says, do not think. Let me tell you what is true. Let me interpret this for you. And beware of those preachers. Paul commends this. And he said, they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they put my teaching under the light of God's word so they might receive it first and foremost from him. This is not my truth, Paul says. This is God's truth. And I praise God that they received God's truth as it is. They received it thinking. They went back to scriptures and they examined. G. Campbell Morgan said this, the noble hearer is not the man who immediately says yes to the interpretation of the preacher. The noble hearer is the man who appeals again and again to the scriptures themselves to find out if these things be true. Listen, if it does not line up with God's word, it is not of God. Be it Mormon, be it Catholic, be it Presbyterian, be it Assemblies of God, be it Southern Baptist, be it Independent Baptist. If it does not line up with God's word, it is not of God.
Amen. That's right.
We live in a culture of Christianity that says, hey, wait a second, preacher, don't judge. Hey, wait a second, preacher, don't criticize them. Don't you know that they say they're of God? Don't you know that they call themselves a church? Oh, wait a second, Christian. Don't question your preacher. Wait a second. You can't see my heart. And if we listen to these quotes, Christians are blindsided by false prophets heralding false doctrine. The Bible tells us that it is your duty. It is your responsibility to examine everything that you hear. Say you were walking downtown Seattle and somebody offered you a hot cup of coffee as you were waiting for the bus. Some stranger, somebody you've never met. Would you not receive it with caution? Before you put it up to your lips to drink it, would you not open the cup and to see if it's the color of coffee? Would you not put it up to your nose and taste it to see if it didn't taste like rat poison? Would you not examine it? Would you not think twice to examine it before you just, oh, thanks, thanks a lot, and it dropped down dead? Now, we do that with a cup of coffee, but I'm afraid that many people won't do that with what they hear and what they see. And just because it says that it's Christian or that it attaches a Bible verse to it, that does not mean that it is of God. We must examine because it may be poison. We must. Now listen, somebody says, I'm a Christian. And I know it's so easy just to believe them just because they say it. But ask them their testimony. You're Christian. What does that mean? Have you been born again? Well, no, I mean, I was baptized when I was 2. It's so easy to just take it, receive it, and that's it. No, ask them their testimony. An evangelist says they've led 100 people to Christ in 1 week. An old man on the Christian radio with nice hymns declares that he knows the day of the Lord, his return. He predicts it once, he messes up. He predicts it twice, messes up again. And yet millions follow him. You better test it. A preacher who tells you that there is no hell and that in the end, love will win. You better test it.
Amen.
A pastor who says, you ought to obey me in all things and never doubt what I say. You ought to test that.
Yeah.
A slick-haired preacher in the big country of Texas on the Larry King live show when asked, do you think Muslims will go to hell if they don't trust in Jesus alone? And responds, well, I'm going to let God be the judge of that. You better test that. God has judged that. Christ has said he's the way, the truth, and the life. But he's so gentle. He has a nice smile. His teeth are so white. He's really sincere. Don't be deceived. A man who claims to have found golden plates in the earth and has received divine revelation from God, you better test that by the word of God. A toddler, a cute, precious little toddler who says heaven is for real and Jesus rides on a rainbow horse, you better test that.
Amen.
Listen, beloved, test it. Don't believe it. No matter how emotional, theatrical it is, you better test it.
That's right.
They are sincere, no doubt. But they're sincerely wrong if they stray from God's word. It just breaks your heart, doesn't it? You walk in a Christian bookstore and you see how many people are flooded to that which is ungodly, to that which is not of God. And you see Hollywood sprinkling their Christian dust on all these things. You say, yeah, but they draw a lot of people and they're thinking about heaven. I don't need a toddler to tell me about heaven. I have the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't need men who have near-death experiences to tell me what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he's all about. I have the word of God. In reality, that is doing more damage than good. It is drawing people away. You see how deceptive Satan is? He just turns it and twists it. He toys with the emotion and he's just pulling them in. He baits his hook with Bible verses. As Satan baits his hook with Jesus, you better test all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, Paul says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Our method of testing that, it is by the Word of God. We don't test by our human reasoning, but by the Word of God. And so what is the purpose of testing? He tells us in our verse, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, test, examine the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So what is the purpose of testing? Well, we test, we prove, we examine to see if they are in fact of God. And if they are not, we ought not to associate. We ought to see if they're of God, see if it is genuine. How do the bankers do it with the dollar bills? They hold it up to the light. There's a security strip in dollar bills to know that this is indeed, there's a special imprint, an ink imprint to tell you that this is indeed a genuine $100 bill. How do we tell? By the teachings that we hear, by the things that we see in the Christian bookstore, if it is genuine. We hold it up to the Word of God and we see if it is genuine. How does a banker know a genuine bill from a false bill? Well, because they touch the genuine bill so much. They know its weight, and they know its character. And they see it, they know its looks, they know its color, that when a false one comes across, they can spot it out real quick. So, beloved, we're called to know the Word of God, to search the Scriptures daily. So if something comes across your ear and you say, I'm not sure about that, we go back to the Word of God and we test it, we examine it. It's like a gold miner. You take the dirt, you take it in your bucket and you sift it out and let the dirt fall to the ground and you keep the gold nuggets. Paul says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, prove all things first and then hold fast to that which is good. Is everything on the television bad? Well, no, not necessarily. There are still good preachers, rare, but they're still out there. But prove all things. And if it is good, then hold fast to that which is good. And thirdly, we see the existence of false prophets. He says, test, try the spirits, whether they are of God, because here's the reason. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We see the quantity of false prophets. There are many of them. Unfortunately, there are many. There have been many. There will always be many. So long as there is truth in the world, there will also be error. There are many who corrupt the Word of God. Many who handle the Word of God deceitfully, who are tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And where are they? All over the world. The location of false prophets, they're gone out into the world. They're on TV. They're in bookstores. They're on internet blogs. They're on radio programs. And they're also in churches everywhere. The imposters are everywhere seeking to deceive. Now you ask yourself this question. Is John's exhortation something new to the scene? Well, no. Where did he get it? Well, John is preaching Christ's sermon in Matthew chapter 7. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 if you would, please. Matthew chapter 7. When you hear a good sermon and you know a man's a good preacher, you want to take that truth and herald it to others. John, having heard the Lord Jesus Christ, the preacher of preachers, the truth incarnate, he had heard this message of Christ time and time again as he was under the care of his Lord. And he is sharing it with those who would read his epistle in 1 John. And John's exhortation is Jesus' exhortation here in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 15. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Notice, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Did you catch the 3 points of Peter's sermon in Christ's sermon? Notice again, Jesus' exhortation in verse 15. Christ says, beware of false prophets. The believer's examination, ye shall know them by their fruits. By their fruits, ye shall know them. Christ is declaring that you have a responsibility to question, to examine, to make judgment and discern. And by their fruits, how do we know if they're teaching what is right, what is of God? Well, it's James. It's the fleshly wisdom or the wisdom from above. You show me a teacher, a preacher who claims to be of God, who can put on a show before other believers, but treats his wife and his children like trash at home the rest of the week. By their fruits. You show me a preacher who can get up and dress in a $1,000 suit and fancy shoes, who preaches Jesus' name, and then the rest of the week lives like a devil, by their fruits. Make judgment. Discern. God's given you a mind. Search the Scripture daily with all readiness of mind and beware. And then third, the existence of false prophets. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are wolves. Notice there also, how many are there? Well, there are many. Many will say, the way to eternal life, the way to truth, the way is narrow. And broad is the way that leads to destruction. So I charge you, believers, tonight, this is John's compassionate caution to Christ's children. Believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. Why? Because there are many false prophets out in the world. Are you gullible? Are you one that if somebody tells you something, you just take it as truth? Have you been deceived by false doctrine? Are you tossed to and fro with every new wave of doctrine, seeking to learn something new? Do you think through what you hear? Do you search the Scriptures daily? I commend you to examine the lives of other teachers and preachers. Examine their preaching by the Word of God. Examine their motives. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, who judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Notice also, just after John, we see the book of Jude. In Jude 17, we have the compassionate words of Jude here to his readers. Same words. Where do they come from? They came from Christ. He says, but, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the truth, not of the apostle John. This is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Holy Spirit. Though they claim to have it, they do not have it. But ye, notice the word, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How do we do that? By the Word of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Jude says, believers, look, if you know somebody who's in the midst of false doctrine, false teaching, they've been deceived, you, out of loving compassion, go speak the truth in love. Amen. Seeking to pull them out of the fire of that deception, even hating what they have been deceived by. You must do it in truth, just as Jesus did it to those during his sermon on the Sermon of the Mount, just as John did it in his epistle, just as Peter did it in his epistle, just as those of Old Testament, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, as they warned Israel, beware of the false prophets. They proclaim peace, peace. There is no peace. And you study the prophets, and you see how passionate they were for the truth, and you see how they call out false prophets. You say, I don't think that's in our generation, to call out people who are wrong. I just don't see that as loving. If you love, you're going to speak the truth. If you see a child on the road out here, and a car coming down the road 45 miles an hour, I would hope you would warn them. I would hope you would seek to go rescue them before they are destroyed. And if you see a loved one, a family member, I hope you would warn them out of compassion, out of love for Christ and His truth. That you would pray and you would seek to win them to the Lord's Word, not to yourself, not to your opinion, but to the Lord's Word. And you're here tonight, you say, well, that's not me. I'll never be deceived. That's not our church. We'll never be deceived. I have to issue this warning. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I can guarantee you those in Galatia thought that same thing. We'll never be deceived. We're Paul's loved ones. The Apostle Paul. We're his children in the faith. He has taught us. The Apostle Paul himself has discipled us. Yet Paul writes, oh, dearly beloved Galatian believers, who hath bewitched you, foolish Galatians? Who has turned you unto this false gospel? How are churches ruined today? How do good churches fall after 50 years, after those you look back, you listen to the tape, and you say, these people were on fire for the Lord. They preached the word of God in truth. Then you look them up 50 years later and you see, wow, they're a circus. They're not even preaching the Word of God anymore. How does that happen? When Christians stop discerning,
that's right.
When Christians stop thinking, and when Christians stop going to the Word of God and examine.
That's right.
I think Pastor Houston and I tonight would both get up here and say, anything that we say from this pulpit, you go home and see if it is truth as it's written in the Word of God. And if ever we discourage you from that, there ought to be a red flag that goes up.
Amen.
We want this to be a church that uplifts the Word of God, because we want this to be a church that uplifts Christ. And you cannot uplift Christ if you do not uplift the Word of God. And if we do not test all things by the Scripture, listen, church, we are no different than the Catholics, Mormons, or Jehovah's Witnesses. We're no different than those who say, well, I believe such and such because my priest told me. Well, I believe such and such because the prophet whoever told me. Well, I believe such and such because my preacher said this. If it's not of the Word of God, if we don't go to the Word and we're persuaded by the Word of God alone, we're no different than the other religions. So my challenge to you tonight, church family, be valiant for truth. Prove all things. Try the spirits and remember the words of John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Let us pray.